Hello, friends. Pastor Alex here. I just want to thank you for taking the time to listen to the preaching of God's holy and precious word. We're happy to announce that we've recently taken another avenue for spreading this message. Our sermons are now available as a podcast on the internet. So if you'd prefer to follow us through our podcast, you're welcome to search us at Faith Fellowship Church with Alex Ruggieri. Please continue to pray for us as we pursue God's will here at FFC. Thank you, and may the Lord's grace be with you.
This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
I need you to follow along here. We're in Luke chapter 18. Last week, we looked at Jesus' teaching on the end times, a subject that many people have been talking about lately. I wonder why. And we looked about the coming of the kingdom, and how Jesus taught us that there is a kingdom that is coming, that we look forward to, but there's also an aspect that that kingdom is now in God's people, and we are to spread that kingdom in this world. So we're not just to sit back on our haunches and wait for the coming of the kingdom. We are to actively engage the world around us in spreading the message of the gospel, in spreading the love of God, in spreading the kingdom of God. And when you think of the burden of that because of the situation of our world, you could easily become discouraged. Because we look forward to a kingdom, but it's not here yet in its entire fulfillment. We're not there yet. We're here. And here, there is a lot of injustice. And here there is an increase of injustice. And you know we're supposed to engage and be active and spread the good news and spread the kingdom. But it becomes difficult when you see the increase of injustice. So I'd like to ask you two questions here this morning. Have you ever felt like you ought not to pray? We can be honest. Have we ever felt like we ought not to pray? We felt tired. We just couldn't take another step. Our bodies, our minds, our souls were just completely drained. Or maybe there was a sickness that beset us and we just couldn't. We just didn't have the capacity. Or maybe we even felt like it wasn't, you know, our bodies or something. We just felt like in our souls, we felt like prayer is pointless. Have you ever felt that way? Maybe not, you wouldn't say it in words and admit it to your friend, but deep down inside there was a struggle going on. Is this prayer really doing anything? Have you ever felt like you ought not to pray? The second question, have you ever felt like you wanted to lose heart? Perhaps you were discouraged about a situation that was outside of your control. Perhaps you were disappointed about the outcome of something that you thought was going to be different. Perhaps a cloud of depression has overcome you. Have you ever felt like you wanted to lose heart? Okay, have you ever felt like you ought not to pray? Have you ever felt like you wanted to lose heart? Well, Jesus tells us this in verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. It can't get any clearer. This teaching is for us, because yes, we do at times feel like we ought not to pray, and yes, we do feel like at times that we want to lose heart. You know, sometimes Jesus' teachings, his parables, they're very obscure. You have to dig in, you have to, Lord, what are you trying to get at here? What does this mean? Just go back one verse, okay? When will the coming of the kingdom come? When will all these things take place? So he said to them, wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Okay. Right. But other times, his teaching is so clear. There's no shadow of a doubt what he's getting at. And here it is. He spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. This parable is for you to become a persistent petitioner. This is for you to become a persistent petitioner. When odd things happen to us, we grow discouraged, we lack motivation to pray, and Jesus is giving us a teaching to help us, to encourage us, to give us that motivation and that drive so that we persist and we become a persistent petitioner. You know, he says here that he teaches us that men ought to pray and not lose heart. Some translations might say grow weary. But I like this idea of losing heart. Have you ever just imagined that you've got a son or a daughter and they're in a sport and they're about to go for the top championship game and they're getting ready to play, and before you drop them off and they join their team, you look at them and you say, "I want you to give your all." They say, "Yes, Dad, yes, Mom." But then you say, "I want you to give all your heart. I want you to put all your heart into it." And there's something about the word heart when you say that, that it makes it different. It's something about the inner core of your soul that's going to be engaged and involved. And Jesus is saying there are going to be times where you're going to lose heart. There are going to be times where that inner oomph isn't there. And so this teaching is to give us that heart. I can tell in my own life, there was a time fairly recently where things didn't go as I had expected or anticipated. And right away, immediately, the devil came and said, "Why don't you lose a little heart in this matter?" And Jesus speaks to me and says, "My friend, this parable is for you, but you ought always to pray and not lose heart." To become a persistent petitioner. And did you know he's on the lookout? God is on the lookout for persistent petitioners. People whom he can go to and say, "Listen, I've got something I need you to intercede for. I need you to pray about this. I've got a burden I'm going to lay on your heart. I want you to pray about it." He's on the lookout. Look at verse 8. "I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" So he's on the lookout for those who have that sense of being a persistent petitioner, a trust in God, a willingness to keep at it, keep going. And we want to be them. We want to be them. So look at three things to become a persistent petitioner. First, pray the right prayers. To become a persistent petitioner, we must pray the right prayers. Look at verse 2. He gives the parable. "There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man," also known as California. I guess that's not a city. New York City. "This was an especially wicked judge. The Bible says that he did not regard..." I'm sorry if anyone's from California or New York City. But I think we can agree that there are people involved in the legal system who could fit the bill for this. "He did not fear God nor regard man." Now, what does that mean? Okay, he wasn't a believer. He didn't care about God, God's ways, God's laws. And that's bad enough. But even further, he didn't care about man. He didn't care about justice among men. He didn't care that things among the affairs of mankind were handled justly. He was in it for himself, perhaps. Isn't that terrible when somebody is in a position of authority, given particular authority to handle issues of justice, and they do not fear God nor regard man? On the opposite side of the story was a widow. Verse 3. "There came a widow in that city." Now, a widow is, I'm guessing in this case, is a woman who lost her husband, became destitute, weak, dependent on others. And she comes to this wicked judge. You can just see the contrast going on here. You have a person who has supreme authority to make judgment calls, given that position to administer justice, and you have somebody who's totally destitute, totally relying on the judge for any means and any help and any intervention. Not a good situation. But what was her prayer? She came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. The prayer was for justice. She was being wronged as a widow. And she wanted him to make it right. Her petition was for justice. And that was a right petition. She prayed the right prayer. You see, we can't just pray any prayer. If we are going to be persistent petitioners, we need to understand that we have to pray the right prayer. Prayers that align with the character of God. Prayers that align with His revealed will to us. There's a little bit of a difficulty in Scripture. For example, in the book of Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, Jesus says this, "Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Okay? Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. If we just took that Bible verse, extracted it from the whole of Scripture, and didn't understand the things Jesus taught and the things He was getting at when He said that, I would be a lion right now. I mean that. Because when I was a young boy, my first interaction with God in prayer, I was about 8 or 9 or 10. Has anyone here seen the movie The Lion King by Disney? Okay, it was my favorite movie when I was a boy. I won't say whether it is now. And as a boy, I loved this movie so much that I decided I was going to pray to God and ask Him to turn me into Simba. And I remember I was on my bed, there was a mirror at the end of the bed. It's not that bad of a prayer. The righteous are bold as a lion. And I just closed my eyes and I asked God, turn me into Simba. And I believed with all my heart, that God was going to answer this prayer. I just couldn't wait to be king. Well, I opened my eyes and I looked in the mirror, and I couldn't feel the love of God that night. So I said, Hakuna Matata, and moved on. Little did I know that down the road, the Lord with a sense of humor would partially answer my prayer by making me a furry creature. Particularly on my neck, like a mane. But you don't notice because I shave it. If we took that verse, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive, we'd be in a dilemma because we have asked things and we have believed them and we didn't receive. Now, sometimes it's because we're living in sin. Sometimes because we're asking amiss. But we have to pray right prayers. Jesus qualifies it in other scripture verses where He says in John chapter 14, verse 14, if you ask anything in My name, I will do it. So there's a qualification that the prayer must be in accordance with the name and the character and the person of God. Who He is, what He's about, His character. It has to be connected, the request has to be connected with the character of Christ. Psalm chapter 37 verse 4 also says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. So there has to be a communion with God in our devotional life, in our walk, daily walk with God, that we have this communion so that we understand the character of God and know how to pray the prayers He wants us to pray that are according to His name. But praying right prayers doesn't necessarily mean that the thing that we request is good, because we have prayed for things that are aligned with the character of God, according to the Bible, according to His character and nature. But there are times that we do ask with the wrong motive. We need to make sure also that we ask with the right motive. If you have your Bibles handy, turn to James chapter 4. Put your finger there and we'll look at that in James chapter 4. You'll see that we also need to have a right motive when we ask. In James chapter 4, he's talking to believers, and he says in verse 2, "You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask." So apparently there were believers who were living contrary to the character of God, and they were asking for right things. And he says in verse 3, "You ask and do not receive." Why? Because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. So not only do we have to have prayers that are according to the character of God, we have to have a right relationship with God. And I'd like to illustrate it this way. You see, imagine a plug and an outlet. Okay? If we are so absorbed with the things of this world, or ourselves, the world, the flesh, the devil, it's like we're plugged in and the juice that we receive from the outlet is according to the world. Is according to the things of the world, the principles of the world. They come inside of us and move us and direct us. However, if we're plugged into Almighty God, nurturing that relationship with Him on a daily basis, walking with Him in obedience and faith and trust, it's like we're plugged in and God's character and God's nature and who God is flows inside of us. And it's like we become connected with Him so that we know the things that He wants us to ask, so that our heart is His heart and the things that we ask are according to Him and His nature. So in order to pray right prayers, we have to remember three things. First, am I maintaining a consistent, obedient relationship with God by His grace? Am I maintaining a consistent, obedient relationship with God by His grace? Not that we're perfect, not that we get everything right all the time, but that by His grace, when we stumble, we ask for forgiveness, we get up and we continue, but we are maintaining a consistent, obedient, love, grace, relationship with Almighty God. Secondly, in order to pray the right prayer, is my prayer something that is in line with God's character and nature? Is my prayer something that is in line with God's character and nature revealed to us in His Word? Thirdly, does my prayer have a godly motive? Is this prayer for the right intentions? Or is it only for myself? Or are my motives askew? So those three things are to keep in mind. In order to pray right prayers, first, am I maintaining a consistent, obedient relationship with God by His grace? Secondly, is my prayer something that is in line with God's character and nature? And thirdly, does my prayer have a godly motive? So we have to pray the right prayers, but secondly, we have to keep praying the right prayers. In order to become a persistent petitioner, we have to keep praying the right prayers. Look at verse 4 back in Luke of a parable here. So you have the widow who is praying for justice. But in verse 4, the Bible says he would not. He would not. Why? He didn't care. He had all the power. He had all the authority. He had the final say whether the widow would get her justice. He was a wicked man. And she asked for justice and he said no. Doesn't that bother you? When wicked people have that final authority, when people who don't fear God nor regard man have power over whether you are treated fairly or not. Praise God, this is a parable, and we know that we have an ultimate authority that we can appeal to, who will administer ultimate justice. And in our parable, we read the widow, having been denied her request, walks away discouraged and hopeless. No! Verse 4, he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, but because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Continual coming. She kept at it. She kept going. She brought it back to him. She pressed on, she pressed forward. You know, Jesus occasionally will add humor to his teachings. And there's a little bit of humor in this. And a couple of the translations, I think, got it. But that word, if you look in verse 5 here, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Some versions will say, lest she wear me out, or lest she exhaust me. The word in the original, it has a double meaning. It means under the eye. What does that have to do with being weary? Well, it literally means to strike under the eye. To give a black eye, we would say. In essence, what the judge is saying is, I'd better give her justice, lest she come and give me a black eye. The judge was actually concerned that this widow was going to come and beat on him. You can kind of see the humor. But this humor has a depth of meaning. Why was the judge concerned? He said, though I don't fear God nor man, I'm going to give her request because she's just keeping at it and keeping at it and keeping at it. I'm concerned that she's going to come and really take me down. She kept on pressing him. She kept on pressing him. And so in order to be a persistent petitioner, not only do we have to pray the right prayers with the right motive, but we need to keep on praying the right prayers. Pressing on. Keeping at it. Look, if you will, in 2 Samuel chapter 23 in the Old Testament here. This is a very interesting passage of Scripture. 2 Samuel chapter 23. The Bible lists the mighty men of David's army. Some of the victories of these mighty men. And I'd like to draw attention to one of these mighty men. In 2 Samuel 23, verse 8, these are the names of the mighty men whom David had: Josheb, Bashebeth, the Tachmonite. I'm going to butcher these names. Chief among the captains, he was called Adino the Esnite because he had killed 800 men at one time. These are mighty men who fought mighty battles, gained great victory. Look at verse 9. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahoite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel had retreated. Now look at this in verse 10 about Eleazar. He arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. You can just picture it in your mind. There he is. All the Philistines are around him. And his arm is growing weary because he's hacking at them and hacking at them and pressing forward. And the Bible says that his hand, by the exertion of his strength, literally freezes in place. His capacity to let go was taken away. It was stuck there. It was frozen. And he kept pressing on and he kept fighting. That's what Jesus is getting at here. There are evil forces to fight against, as we have heard in our prayer requests. And we want to be like Christ. We want to be one of Christ's mighty men or women who arose and attack those spiritual forces even until our hands become weary and they freeze in place while we're in prayer. And look at verse 10. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder. Other people had left. The other members of the army had abandoned him. He was there alone, but he fought on, and the Lord brought about a great victory. To be a persistent petitioner is to be one of Christ's mighty men or women. We need to keep on praying. Keep on pressing on. Now, I understand. Sometimes God does different than what we thought we needed. But if it hasn't come to pass yet, why did we stop? Look at verse 7 back in Luke. And shall God not avenge His own elect who cry out day and night? Who cry out day and night. They are keeping at it. God's people are keeping at it, keeping pressing on. You remember Jesus when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He told his disciples, the three that he had taken, he said, come and watch with me. Pray with me. Why did he ask them that? Well, he was about to be arrested. And they needed strength to stand. But what happened? They fell asleep. And he came back to them. He said, come on, guys. Watch with me. Pray with me. And they fell asleep again. And what happened when Jesus was arrested? The disciples fled. The spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. If you pray with persistence, you will always get resistance. You can remember that. If you pray with persistence, you will always get resistance. The world is going to tempt you to stop. The flesh is going to tempt you to stop. The devil is going to whisper little lies in your ears. But we fight back. And we press on. So we need to keep on praying the right prayers. Thirdly and lastly, not only do we pray the right prayers, not only do we keep on praying the right prayers, thirdly, we keep praying the right prayers with total trust in God. Keep praying the right prayers with total trust in God. Here in our parable, because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. That's what the unjust judge said in verse 7. And shall God not avenge His own elect who cry out day and night to Him, though He bears long with them? Do you see the comparison? On the one hand, you have somebody who is unjust, wicked, cares not about God, cares not about men. And he gave the widow her request because of her persistence. He's saying, if that's the way a wicked judge is going to act, how much more will God act on behalf of His own people? That's the character of God. You have an unjust judge, and you have a widow whom he cares nothing about, has no regard for, and Jesus says, in reality, you have Almighty God and His people who have accepted Him by faith and are His own. How much more is God going to avenge them? It's the same logic in Luke chapter 11. When we looked at Jesus teaching how we need to ask and seek and knock, look what he says here. When he's teaching about prayer, he says, if your son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Okay, there are wicked people in this world who would probably do that, but in general, if a son goes to a father and says, Father, I'm hungry, and in this context, we're dealing with perhaps a poor situation, well, the father said, sure, I'll give you some food, picks up a rock and says, here, enjoy. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give good gifts, give the Holy Spirit to them who ask Him? It's the same comparison that Jesus is making here. Why would God's people ask to be avenged? It says that God's people are crying out day and night, avenge us, avenge us. Because they're being treated unjustly. Bad things are happening to them. There are Christians right now, particularly in Afghanistan, who are gathered together in their homes, if they do gather, and they're crying out to God day and night that God would avenge them for the injustice that is befalling them. Brothers and sisters, to persist in our petitions, not only do we just keep praying and keep praying and keep praying, we pray with total trust in God. Total trust in God. Jesus is on the lookout for persistent petitioners who keep praying the right prayers with total trust. Look at verse 8. When the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on earth? So when you pray, do you believe that God will do the right thing? When you pray, do you believe that God will do the best thing? When you pray, do you believe that God will do the right thing and the best thing with you in mind? If not, why? Why don't we believe that God will do the right thing and the best thing for His own child? His character has proven trustworthy. When Jesus was there nailed to a cross and the blood was pouring out of His hands and His feet, He had you in mind. And if God is willing to go to that extent to bring you to Him, how much more will He care about you when you lift your heart up to Him in prayer? Now you can be honest with God. You can say, God, I don't understand. All things look terrible. But I will place total trust in You that You will do what is right. You will make everything right that has been wrong. And You will bring me into a state of perfect happiness and bliss where I will be in perfect joy. And if You allow this evil for a season, I will trust You. I will call on You to bring to pass justice in this life, which You do, but I will trust You. Because You will not be too late in the end, but You will be on time. You will be on time. We need to pray the right prayers. We need to keep praying the right prayers. We need to keep praying the right prayers with total trust in God. Brothers and sisters, this parable is one of the most encouraging parables that Jesus ever taught. Because you and I both know that in the world we live in, it's easy to feel like we want to lose heart and that we ought not to pray. And praise God that He gives us this This is in connection, by the way, with the end times. He just got done teaching about the end times. And he says at the end of this parable, when the Son of Man comes, when the just judge comes, how will he find us? How will he find us? Will we be waiting for him? Or will we be distracted with the world? Will we be ambivalent, apathetic? Or will we be persistent petitioners, actively engaged in communion with Almighty God? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in you? Will he come and he'll know this one? This one was part of my mighty men, my mighty women. The faith is there. When he comes, will he recognize you as his own? If you're unsure about that, did you know you can be sure? That you can know this very morning that when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith in you. The Bible says that his people cry out to him day and night. Have you cried out to God for your salvation? Have you asked him to come and to forgive you of your sins? Have you turned from this world and all that, all the allurements and all that is there, just lay that aside and turn to God in complete and total abandonment, and all you can do is welcome his gift of salvation into your heart by faith. Nothing you can do except receive by faith his gift of salvation for you. Have you done that? We're going to bow our heads in prayer, and you can take this opportunity to call out on him. Father God in heaven, I pray for us. I pray that if somebody here has not welcomed this salvation, they would welcome it now. Your word says, he who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I pray, dear God, that you would come into their heart, take over everything, become the just judge of their life. May they put their faith in you. So when you come, you can say, there's faith. Father God, for all of us, we don't understand sometimes these things. We don't understand. But you knew that we wouldn't understand. You knew that. That's why you taught us about a widow who in the face of all injustice kept going and persevered. Dear God, I pray that you would give us the spirit of perseverance, the spirit of trust, the spirit of faith, so that we can become a persistent petitioner, so that we can continually press on in what is right, what is good, seeking your face about those things in our lives. Help us, Father, to maintain a consistent relationship with you, to be in tune with you, to be plugged into you. Please, Father God, help us. That way we may know your will and pray according to your name. Help us as a church, Father God. I am so blessed that this church is a praying church. I'm so blessed, Father. Help us to persevere in prayer. Father God, may you guide us in the days ahead, whatever days they may be. May they be days of perseverance. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.